Hello, and good to be with you again for English Special. I'm Renee Wyndham, and our theme for today is painting. With me in his studio is an award-winning artist who paints landscapes in oils. Why is he special? Well, in the New Year's Honours list this year, he received an MBE presented by King Charles. Alan Cotton is an artist who's travelled the world, including spending 3 weeks travelling with King Charles, who was then Prince Charles, Prince of Wales, as his tour artist. Alan, what did you have to do?
Well, the idea was that I would travel with the Prince, as you say, as the tour artist. But in fact, it was mentioned that I would sit alongside him and paint, and he alongside me and paint. But it never quite happened, because he's so busy. What I found was I was with him for about 3 weeks in various countries like Sri Lanka, Fiji, Australia, New Zealand, and I was part of a group of six of us who travelled to all the events. And although I could have escaped more, it was fascinating to be with him and watch the way he works and meets people. But I did detach myself to some extent, particularly in New Zealand, where I went to the Albatross Colony on South Island, and that really inspired me. And of course, Fiji was an extraordinary place to paint, and many of the images that I did were from there. In fact, parts of the Prince has collected quite a bit of my work now, at least two paintings from Fiji and one from South Island of the Albatrosses from New Zealand.
Well, Alan, you met him again very recently when you got your MBE, Member of the British Empire Award. What does it mean and what's it for?
Well, I think the award has been given to me for what it said on the citation was an outstanding contribution to the arts of the southwest of England. But it's also probably for charity work that I've done over 40 years. But it's that kind of thing, and it's a recognition for all these things I've done, really, I suppose.
Well, I know that you love France and you have a particular penchant for painting in Provence. What's so special about Provence?
Provence is the most special place you could visit. I've been going there for so many years, and the part that I like particularly is the Luberon and the places between Avignon, right the way down the valley of Bonnieu, and Roussillon, and Gourdes, and all those places, those hill towns, inspire me every time I go back. And I've been going there for over 30 years now. It's a magical place, not only visually, the landscape, but the way of life, the people. And it's like going home to me in a way. And I have a special love of Bonnieu, which is like a big ice cake growing out of the valley, and all those wonderful buildings juxtaposed, and at different times of day, catch the light, catch the mood, and I've painted there so many times. Now I have an utter fascination with Provence.
And there are other places in Europe and the rest of the world that have I know you've done a lot in Ireland, Scotland. Where else across Europe do you enjoy painting?
Well, of course, Italy always has a pull for the artist, Venice particularly, and indeed I've spent much time there. We did have a studio for a while. So Venice is special. And essentially, so many artists have worked there over the centuries. And to find your own personal vision takes a lot of time. And it wasn't until I became a resident there that I really began to see it in a very different, more personal way. So Venice is a special place. Piemonte, which is not known for so many English people, is a place that I love in North Italy. And again, there are many hill towns there which I paint. Been to Morocco, to Marrakesh, and been up the Atlas Mountains and painted in that region, which is a totally different experience, mainly because of the life and the colours. The earth colours there are so rich and marvellous. And I went there because of a friend of mine called Art Malik, the actor, who made many films there, and rang me and persuaded me to go and said it would blow your mind. And Morocco certainly did do that.
You've obviously chosen to be a landscape painter rather than still life or portraits. Why haven't you really majored in still life or portraits?
I think the reason I painted landscape is because as a small boy, to escape from an industrial background, I found myself in landscape and tried to make more sense of my life, really. And the earliest memory I have is sitting on the edge of a field, a barley field, looking at those beautiful things against a blue sky and thinking this was idyllic. And it's always landscape which has turned me on. Landscape in England, landscape in the places I've mentioned of Provence and Morocco and many other locations, and particularly Cyprus, which I think is again a rich, fertile kind of background for me.
You use a palette knife really rather than a brush. So isn't it a bit limiting if you have a thick knife rather than a fine brush?
One of the great myths about using the painting knife is that it's a crude instrument which only makes big swashes of paint. Not true. It'll make the tiny textural marks as well. Using different parts of the knife, you can get 100 different marks. And the reason I use the knife is because I love the surface of painting, the sensuality of oil paint, and the way you can layer it on, or use it delicately, or in great swashes. And paint itself is a very, very sensual material. And the knife allows me to do that. It's not true that I don't use a brush, actually. I mean, the underpainting for a piece of work that I do, I always start with drawing on the canvas. But every mark that you see in any exhibition of mine, every mark has been made with a painting knife.
One other thing that strikes me is your vibrant colours. You don't seem to like painting in muted beiges and greys quite as much. So how do you mix your colours and sometimes layer them?
The great attraction of working in countries like Provence and Mediterranean countries is because of the colour. And yes, the sensuousness of colour. I love doing that. But it's not totally accurate to say that I don't like working in a lower key. The great thing about working in different locations is that every time your palette changes. For example, if I was working along the west coast of Ireland, then you're going to use a lot of cooler colours, blues and greys and fawns and all that. But if you're working in passionate landscapes like Provence, then of course your palette becomes much more exuberant. And therefore you want to use high key colour and enjoy it. And it's a great experience being in the studio working. It's a very optimistic thing to do, to be working with rich colours of oranges and yellows, reds of all kinds, and purples indeed. So yes, I mean, I love rich colour.
When you start a piece and you're faced with a blank canvas, how do you ever get sort of writer's block as an artist, or do you immediately want to fill that canvas?
I think the thing is, really, before any of that starts, it's about being on location. In my case, it's drawing. When I'm inspired by the light, which is always the central part of my work, and you want to record something, I use drawings to do it. And I make notes as well, written notes. So I'm making a sort of like a workshop of ideas, which I collect. So when I come back to my studio in Devon, in England, I'm filled with the passion of ideas and wanting to paint. And those are marvellous times. You've been away, you've been part of the landscape, you've seen wonderful things, made drawings about it, and if you've got any sense, and I do have sense, you've got all the preparations done before you arrive back in the studio, i.e. the canvases are ready stretched, you've got all the paints you need, so you can really start on the paintings.
It's interesting to see that you haven't mentioned photography at all. Do you never take a photograph of the landscape?
It depends. I don't use photographs very much, but when I was painting in Tibet, up Everest, where I've been twice, I was working with Sir David Hempelman Adams, my companion, the explorer, and he took a lot of photographs. And it is bitterly cold up there. It was about 25 degrees below with winds blowing. And really, you spend limited time drawing. For example, if you draw and you wear silk gloves, you can draw for about 5 minutes before you don't feel your finger ends. So you do it sort of incrementally.
And you were camping up there, weren't you?
Yes.
How was that in the freezing cold?
Well, you sort of prepare yourself mentally. You know it's going to be cold. And so every preparation is directed towards that. i.e. in clothes, and one of the things about it is to paint up there. I didn't actually use oil paint there. I used watercolour. And you might say, well, how do you control that? Because it freezes. And the thing is to add glycerine to it to actually retard the temperature. And in that way, you can make colour notes and watercolours and all that.
Your paintings that I've seen over the years, over many years, seem to really evolve. You never repeat yourself. You develop. So how do you feel you've evolved in the last 20, 30 years?
I think the thing is really that to keep the work fresh, you need new challenges. And in my case, new locations. This is why I've worked so extensively in so many different locations in Europe and indeed Southern Hemisphere and various other places. But it is about that. It's about excitement when you start. You know when you're getting stale and it's time to stop and go and charge the batteries. And I'm in that state at the moment, actually.
Well, you do make it look terribly easy when I watch you painting, but sometimes you seem to get very tired. What does it take out of you and what's the tiring part?
I think a lot of people would think it's a nonsense that you ever get tired through painting, but actually it is also a job of work, and you work long hours on them. And knowing when to stop is the thing, because you don't want to stop. You want to carry on doing it. And of course, the other thing is that with an exhibition in the West End of London, and I've had quite a lot over the years now with my dealer, David Messam, Messam Galleries, it's always predicted by the date when it's going to open. And that's a deadline. And so that sort of gives you that extra impetus. Maybe we all need deadlines, I don't know. But I'm very aware of the deadlines because there's so much at stake for the gallery and all the preparations needed.
So does that put stress on you as well?
Yeah, I think painting can be quite stressful. I mean, but people see the results and think it's a piece of cake, really. You never make a mistake, or that is not true. I mean, you have good days and bad days like everybody else in life. But thankfully, I have more good days than bad days.
Certainly do. You seem to be a total one-off, but have you been inspired by other artists and have you got favourite artists?
Oh, I think every painter has always been inspired by other painters. I suppose in a structural sense, Paul Cézanne affected most landscape painters the way he took natural landscape and analysed it and used geometric shapes to understand it and to paint. So Cézanne was an early inspiration. People often ask me if who was my favourite painter. That's a tough one. But if I could have one painting, it would be a Bonnard. Pierre Bonnard was a very sensuous painter. And looking at his work, which is high key, full of colour, full of joy, full of excitement, even painting a thing like a tabletop with fruit on it, with light coming in and casting shadows, a very sensuous experience. So if I was going to have a painting, it would be a Bonnard. And he's certainly been a great inspiration to me.
Well, the way you say it, it shows you're really a great communicator. You've worked on TV, on radio, on video, and you seem to relish the interaction with the public. But how does communication feature in the way you paint?
Well, I get a lot of feedback, of course. I mean, there's so many of my paintings and collections all over the world now. And we do get feedback from people who obviously love having them. And that brings me great joy. And we get so many comments, you know, about that a certain painting means a lot to a family and has been part of almost like two generations now. And that, of course, it does give you a great feeling, no question about it.
You do some teaching as well, but do you think painting is something that can be taught, or is it essentially an inner talent?
That's a tough question, really, because I think certainly painting can be taught to a degree. And in fact, in Devon, they say there are more groups of painters, amateur painters mostly, more than any other part of the world, perhaps except Florida. But, and of course, as a teacher, you can actually point the direction, how you could proceed, how you can move forward and get better and better. But to be truly honest about it, I think it's good to produce paintings which are really special. I think you've got to have a germ of inspiration, which is up to the individual. Don't think you can teach that quite.
I think you've got more than a germ of inspiration. But how would you like people to describe your life's work?
Gosh, that's the toughest question of all, really. Because it's something you do. You don't really think about that. But like I was saying perhaps a moment ago, I get massive feedback from other people who've got paintings and from public collections where people can come and see the work on a daily basis. And I've got work in a lot of collections now. And so people write to me, they communicate with me. And I know my work, thankfully, means a lot to quite a few people.
That's very modest, Alan. And thank you so much for speaking to us.
This is okay,
English
really.
Special today. Very good.
Thank you. Did I interrupt you? I thought you'd finish. Sorry.